The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The Asian Avengers, so weak.
Asian Avengers, so weak, so fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
We're coming at you live from Brooklyn, New York. It is August 15th. Happy Saturday. If you're listening to this on your phones right now, please take a screenshot, post it on Instagram stories, tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod, and we'll retweet it. And we love it when you do that. If you're an iTunes listener, please leave a review. We love hearing from you, even if you don't like us. We love it. If you don't like us, please leave a 5-star review and then tell us why you don't like us. Don't do that thing where you give us 3 stars because that hurts our feelings.
I like that. That's a good compromise. You know, that 5 stars, but you get to call us a racial slur.
Yes. So, and that's, you know, that's...
You know what I'm saying?
No one's doing deals like this these days, bro.
Yeah. The racial slur doesn't show up in the algorithm review. So, you know what I'm saying? It's still a 5-star. You can call me 5-star or whatever you want, you know? I don't give a shit.
Okay, story of the week real quick before we get into our guest. This is, I don't know where this is gonna go, but I'm just gonna tell you because this is what's happening in my life right now. So preface this with, it's not bad news, even though you're gonna take it as bad news, Mike.
Okay.
So I live with my girlfriend, and if you live with your partner during the quarantine, you've probably been seeing her face for like 6 months straight or whatever.
Way too much. I didn't get married for this.
It's unhealthy, actually, because even if this person is important in your life, you're just gonna, it's just too much. It's too much, you know, and like you're just gonna argue and shit. So we decided that we need to take some time apart. So I'm gonna spend a week in a hotel next week by myself.
Okay.
In Soho. I got a hotel in Soho, and I'm gonna just stay there.
Okay, first of all I am a little jealous. Okay, that I will say that right off the top. I will say that I also wish I was going through some sort of relationship crisis. Second, about an hour before recording, Fumi and I always get on the phone and we go through the outline of the episode and we kind of like do any last pre-production checks, and one of them is always like, oh, what are we going to talk about, what's our story of the week? And like, we ran through a bunch of different things, like, you know, not a lot of stuff is happening because when you're indoors like 20 hours a day, you're, you know, nothing's happening. But I like that this didn't even come up, you know, like this for you, this wasn't even like your, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, oh yeah, I guess I could talk about how I went to the post office, or like, oh, my leg hurts, you know, like my, you know, and, oh, I got this other thing about this. And Fumi's like, anything interesting happened to me today? Nope, nothing at all. Just normal, regular stuff, you know?
Dude, it's, I don't know. I'm always, I don't know if it's because it's just the way I grew up, but like, I really need space. Like for me, and it has nothing to do with the other person that I'm with. You know, I went through something like this when I took my friend Nick, my American friend Nick, to Japan with me in the fourth grade, and he stayed with me for a month. And by the end, like, we got in the fight and I bit his arm, and it was like a whole thing. It was a whole thing, bro. We're still friends today, but I bit his fucking arm. And so I didn't want to do that to my girlfriend. I didn't want to bite her arm. So
you're not. Yeah. Okay. So you guys aren't like on a break.
No. And she's actually really happy. She's like, okay, cool. I'm gonna invite my best friend to come over and like work
and bang. Okay. Oh, right.
Right. Yeah. They're gonna bang.
Oh yeah. Sure. Whatever you say, buddy.
Anyways, I'm gonna be in Soho for a week. So hey, catch me in Soho.
Where in Soho are you staying?
I think it's like the Grand Hyatt or something. Dude, hotels are so cheap. They're like, it's like $50 a night. I'm spending like I'm staying 5 nights. It's like $250.
No, yeah, they're all full of like homeless people now, bro. That's why.
Oh shit, really?
They're gonna be like, man, you're the worst one of all of them. You know, like, God, my God, you're so thin. Have some food, buddy. You know.
I know.
Okay. Well, when are you doing it?
Next week. But it's gonna be weird because all my work, like I do a lot of Zoom calls for work, and they're gonna be like, "Oh, are you like traveling?" And I gotta like make up some excuse because I don't want to explain this to my fucking coworkers.
I thought I was gonna be the divorcee living in a motel first, you know, and it turned out to be you. I'm so jealous.
This is not a divorce, bro. This is a modern relationship, Mike.
I like that.
Open relationships, getting hotels. This is what we do.
I respect the game. However you want to twist it in your mind, I respect the game. I love it. That's good. I love that. I'll stop by. We'll hang.
Yeah,
it'll be great.
Stop by, dude. We can bang.
We can go. How's your bachelor pad? You'd be like, yeah, it's going great. You're like playing Xbox and shit, and eating ramen. Yeah.
It's gonna be terrible, but I'm so excited. Anyways, more update on this next week. So enough of this nonsense. Let's move on to our guest. We are so excited to have her on. We've been trying to get her for a minute. She is a stand-up comedian based on the West Coast. She has her own podcast called Stay Positive. Mm-hmm. Positive. She's also like kind of famous. She's youngest contestant on season 9 of NBC's Last Comic Standing. She's a staff writer for Earth to Ned, which is a puppet talk show that would be available on Disney Plus. Also, she went to Harvard, probably the most impressive out of all the things we just said. She went to Harvard. That's pretty good. That's really cool. And so we're probably just mainly going to talk about Harvard today. So guys, let's get excited for the hilarious Sierra Cotto, everybody.
Yay!
Thank you for that kind intro.
Yeah, of course.
It's cool.
Can I ask you something before we start?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That's a Japanese last name, right?
Yeah. I guess I didn't acknowledge that. It was a quick pronunciation win for
you.
Well,
I just assumed, but I don't know. Kato is like super common, but I don't know anybody who spells it that way. And I was wondering if there's like a backstory to it.
Man, I'm sure there is. I think we've just always agreed on like it got fucked up somewhere along the way. I'm fourth generation, so my great grandparents are the immigrants. So who knows what they were up to? You know.
Oh, that's crazy.
Running around.
This whole time I thought you were like adopted by some Polish people, and like, you know what I'm saying, like
Katowski.
Katowski, yeah. Welcome to Katow, Poland.
Us.
You know, yeah. It was. I was like, "What's happening here?"
I think that is the Polish is where people think it's from, or Russian. And
yes.
I think in This Is Us, like that NBC show, the doctor is Dr. Katowski.
There you go.
Oh, no way.
Any relation? Like, yeah. I mean, you know, that's the real question.
I would like to say we had to drop the ski, you know, when we were fleeing Poland.
To fit in easier. Oh, you know, the climate is too crazy. No, this is cool that you're here because I remember in my first year of doing comedy, this is how like weird like time works, is that I feel somehow I've gotten older and you've gotten younger, you know, because like I watched your videos when I was like, man, how do I write a joke? And like, I was just like, you know, just cruising around. You're like trying to find like other Asian comics, you know, and like you're like your sets would appear. And I think you were still a student like at Harvard, and you know, you'd be doing these things. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So it's cool that you're now you're here and you're doing your thing. I don't know if that's a good, this is probably a low point in your career.
It's a
honestly,
low point for her. Yes.
It's a low point.
No,
it's a high point
great.
For us. But as you can see, time doesn't work that way anymore. I'm getting older. You're getting younger. I'm getting less successful.
Great.
So you started stand up when you were, you started when you're 16 years old. How old are you now? If you're allowed to say.
Yeah. I just turned 26. So I guess it's been like 10
years.
Grizzled veteran.
Grizzled road dog.
Look at you. Road dog.
Yes,
you know?
I love it.
How many ex-wives do you have, Sierra? You know? Like,
ooh,
hell yeah.
Yeah, collecting them. it's been a while. But yeah, I guess I started in high school. So it was very, you know, a high schooler doing stand-up isn't really legitimate. But
yeah, tell us a little bit about that. Just so our listeners can get an idea of kind of who you are. Like, you know, like why did you start in 16? I feel like you're... I mean, you were in, so you were home in LA, so you didn't start in Boston or anything like that. I'm sure there were so many other things to do other than stand up in such a beautiful state. Like what made you want to do stand up?
Yeah, go to Yosemite.
Yeah, I don't know.
I should have gone. Why did I not travel the coast? Yeah, no, I think it was, I just wanted to do something. Well, I played basketball. This is my big origin story.
Right. Started with basketball.
Just quit.
Which honestly, I hope this is okay to say, even less likely of a thing that I would have imagined you doing.
Sure, yeah. No, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? I used to be a UFC fighter, and then that didn't work out, so I decided to do basketball. Okay, no, go ahead.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, so it was like, you know, high school basketball. I remember having to quit because I was like, oh, I'm not going to make it to varsity because I was too small.
Oh, shit.
So anyway, yeah, so then I picked up stand up because I knew I liked to like do speeches for student government. And yeah. I always wanted to be like the class clown. I never was. I was like probably shyer than I wanted to be. So there was sort of like this, how do I get, you know, more jokes out of my brain? And then also I think, you know, I mean, I honestly probably felt there was a little bit of like, I want to break stereotypes a little bit, but I wasn't thinking in those terms.
You were thinking that when you were 16?
I mean, I think it was like, oh, well, I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe a little bit there, but it was more just like wanting to break my own personality that I didn't like thing. Which was I wanted to be louder.
When you were 16, were you like, okay, this could be like a career thing, or was this something like, oh, you know, this is like a good way to kind of, you know, get myself out there a little bit and stuff, or, you know what I'm saying, were you thinking like real long term about it, were you thinking kind of like this could be like a cool thing to do, you know?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, no, I actually think I did think somewhat long term in the sense of like, I didn't know what went into this. I knew I probably was interested in like comedy writing and stuff because I knew that was a job. I don't think I knew stand-up was a job until I started doing it, and then it was like, oh, okay, I guess people do this, but obviously it's not like very sustainable. But I think what was one memory I remember having was like, oh, I noticed like if I wanted to do entertainment for women, it's like you don't see a lot of older women except for stand-up comedians or like comedians.
Okay.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I think there's part of me that was like, oh, if you like become a comedian, then you're just like talking all the time, so like as long as you can keep talking, I don't know, but that's one thought I remember having.
Tell us about that. First of all, what is it like doing comedy as a 16-year-old, because you're surrounded by like, I mean, you okay, so this is 10 years ago, so you started around 2010. This is 2010 is the peak of like the straight white guy comedy. This is when like Pete Holmes was this is like the peak of Pete Holmes, like everybody's shaggy hair, hoodie, baggy jeans.
Yeah, I'm a loser. Yeah.
I can't get laid.
Sure.
Like that kind of like awkward white guy.
Yeah,
awkward white guy
I'm
was
at my
like.
Feet.
Yeah, everybody, that was like what the industry wanted, awkward white guy, right? Beta white guy. So like, what was it
I
like?
Love it.
I mean, I can't even imagine, let it like sticking an Asian woman in there to begin with, but like a 16-year-old Asian woman in there. I can't even imagine what that world is like.
Yeah, man, I would have called police for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would have my, I think my parents would drop me off sometimes. So like, oftentimes my mom was with me, I think like occasionally, cause they were kind of like, there's some people hanging around. I don't know. Cause like the Comedy Store out here is like the open mic that everybody wants to go to, especially when they're starting out and you don't really know any better about like, oh, actually you have better odds getting up somewhere else. So when I would go there, I think she would sometimes be with me, which is pretty funny. But yeah, so yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, it was, they're like creeps, but I think I personally avoided a lot of that stuff because I was 16, but probably looked like I was 12.
Right. Okay.
And then, so it wasn't like I was like, oh, this young thing. It was
so
like,
even the,
oh, this child.
Even the creeps were like, oh, this is too, you know,
they're like,
too
yeah, that's
for
full
me.
Pedophile
even the
there. Not
were there,
evil-file.
No. Do you have especially horrible open mic story, like in any of the ones have you've done, like all the, I don't know, thousands you've done?
I mean, I guess with my, when my parents would come with me, they would often be there while it was like not just bad stand up or sexual stand-up. It was like bad and sexual. So it was like, this is just... And we're not even laughing too, or we're like, oh, haha, so funny. It was just like, oh God, this is just disgusting. Like, what's happening? Yeah, yeah. So, it's a lot of that, you know.
What did your parents think about all that?
They didn't try to talk you out of this?
My parents and I have never had the talk. I can't even imagine sitting through a comedy show with them, an open mic, and then like riding home in that van. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, you just ignore it. I don't think I've had the talk with my parents either. So that was kind of the talk. So I think it was, we learned together.
That's funny. I'm just imagining like they're like everything that man just said on stage isn't real. Okay, that's all fake. You know, just none of that. That you know,
which is probably
that's crazy.
True. Yeah, I remember that's there was a great one point. About like a guy, and we would see the same comics like multiple times. I think especially if I did a show and then the same show. Sometimes they'd book the same people and then they would do the same joke. So we would have to sit through the same like. He's fucking a donkey or something.
Classic. Oh, 2010. Bit. He's got his hoodie on. Oh, I love it. Okay. Yeah.
He's looking at his shoes. Fucking that zebra. Donkey. Sorry. Yeah. And so it was a lot.
So you haven't been able, have you, I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with the exact situation in California. I know it was okay for a little bit. And then it was like, it's obviously much worse, but like, so there's no shows or anything. There's not even outdoor shows or anything like that. Right.
You know, I think there are a few outdoor shows. I actually, somebody had reached out about one and they're like, yeah, we do mass and stay apart and it's outdoors. So it does exist. I haven't done it yet. And I like haven't responded. I'm like, do I want to? I think, but it's good to hear that were yours okay, Fumi? Like, did it seem like that's a okay thing to do?
Yeah,
I know they're different shows. But
I mean, this one was kind of dangerous because like they didn't have, so I've done a few and a lot of them have like they have like five mics on deck and they swap them.
Right.
So that no comedian
has to use
the same mic.
I was going
to bring my own. I probably should have done that. This one I did that was really fun. They didn't have multiple mics. So like I had to like, I brought, what is that, hand sanitizer on stage with me and I just took a second to like wipe the whole fucking thing and then
nice,
I did it.
Nice, yeah.
Honestly, I broke the mic because you don't probably like set,
oh,
you
put
know,
the water.
The hole. But yeah. Like, I'm not kind of, dude, if I got COVID from doing stand-up comedy, I would fucking kill myself. Are you kidding me?
Just let it take me.
Yeah, I do feel that, you know, I have to check the CDC website and the current literature. I don't think that microphone to microphone transmission is one of the main ways that it's spread so much as, you know, when you're talking, you know, I bet you when you bomb, you leave a much larger vapor cloud on stage, you know, of just you going like, why don't you guys like these jokes? Yeah. You know, so like the meltdown creates a vapor cloud aerosols.
Heard of that,
aerosols,
yeah.
Bro.
And then you stand there. And that's how you spread it.
That's
okay?
how you spread it.
So that's really the dangerous thing. So, you know, so that's so funny. I feel like there is something... Like, I don't know about you, but like, I don't get excited. I have like 3 or 4 sketch ideas that I want to do for whatever, TikTok or Instagram. They're all the same. To me, they're all like the same stupid videos, right? Or YouTube or whatever. And I do not feel excited about doing them. Do you know? Like, I have this idea and I'm sure it's not going to go anywhere because nobody likes me anyways. But I don't get excited to do that aspect. I don't get excited to create that versus like this week I cycled from Brooklyn into Manhattan 10 miles to do one open mic and I was more excited about that. I was like, oh man, I got this I got this dumb joke about escalators and boy is it gonna be awesome. And I told it to 5 comics who we did it in a field and I was more it was very sad and it was worse because everyone else on the field was exercising. It made it look like we were the worst exercise group in the whole field. We were just like, you know what, we just gave up. But like I was more excited about that telling that joke than I am about, oh, this is like a fun, you know, thing I could do on TikTok or whatever, even if it goes viral. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I'm like, you know.
And I'm loving TikTok. I mean, just watching TikToks, right? But it's I don't even know. They're so short.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We have to pitch stuff for TikTok at work and it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like before it was a minute and they're like, now we want 39 seconds. And I'm like, I cannot do this. I you know what I mean? Like that I cannot.
Right.
39 seconds? Are you fucking kidding me? Like it has to be hilarious and like it's like that's the world that we're dealing with now. You know, it's like
sure.
We went from like, I remember when I started comedy, they're like, yo, your sketches, it's got to be under 5 pages, which means less than 5 minutes. Now it's 39 seconds, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a complete different, it's not even, I can't even call it comedy anymore. It's like, it's something else. It's like a yuck yuck or something, you know? It's like you fucking scroll and you're like, ah. You know what I mean? Like you're just scrolling on TikTok and you're like just laying yourself and you're scratching your balls and you're like, this is what I do on TikTok. I look, I go, and I just flip to the next one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to work all week for a video that can make someone go,
I can't imagine having someone watch a 5 minute long sketch, you know, like that sounds like making somebody read Shakespeare.
Yeah. Now it does.
Old English.
Right, yeah.
Or
that's
something,
a chore.
You know? There's no way that anyone. Hell no, you know? Like, yeah. Well, get invested in characters? I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
It's too much,
well,
man.
Okay. So speaking of TikTok and YouTube and stuff, there have been a lot of people who broke out. You know, as everybody knows, Sarah Cooper broke out. There's also been some like Asian TikTok people breaking out. I don't know if you know Nigel Ng. He's the guy who does the BBC Rice thing. Uncle Roger.
He's got the Uncle Roger thing. That was a good,
oh,
that's
shit.
Like a pretty
okay, I missed that.
Rival. Like, yeah, we were on his podcast
recently. What's the premise?
Recently.
What's the premise?
So, he has a character called Uncle Roger, which is like a kind of like a Malaysian uncle, like that is very kind of angry. It's like an extreme version of Nigel, because it's like an older version of Nigel. It's like Nigel in like 15 more years, right? And what he does is in this particular video, he watches there's a BBC chef. And she makes fried rice. She's like South Asian herself, but she like makes like egg fried rice. And she like, it's like totally not a way that a Chinese person would make it. And he just kind of like shits all over it. And it like went crazy viral. It has like right now, as of recording, it has like 10 million views on YouTube. That's mm-hmm. a shit ton of views.
Whoa,
for a comedy, you know what I'm saying? For a comedy thing. That's a lot, right?
It's long too. Yeah. It's not 39
seconds. It's long.
Seconds.
It's long. Yeah, exactly. It goes. It's the WAP video, and then this one is
the
next.
Yeah, that's
the
rice one.
You know,
good.
You know, so
yeah.
No, so he's really broken out, but he's been in the game. You know, he's been doing stand up in the UK for a long time, and he had started getting traction with a bunch of other stuff that he does on Instagram, on YouTube. So he kind of had like the kindling that caught fire finally, and now he's kind of like broken out, which is cool. But I was thinking that like before the quarantine, if you were someone who kind of had this kind of platform, you would be doing well, you know? And I was thinking that, hey, you know, there's a lot of Asian YouTube channels, like, you know, Fung Brothers, we've done some stuff for them and they're kind of like doing their thing. You know, especially cause like there's so much Asian food stuff out, but then also Wong Fu is like this, like if they were around when I was watching YouTube as like a 20 something, right? Like that was what I was like, that was like my TikTok for a while, right? And you've done a lot of stuff with Wong Fu, right? I feel like I've seen you in different things.
Yeah So I like, what was the first, I think the first thing I did was like a short that they did, and then I wrote with them for like a series called Dating After College that they did, and then did this, most recently we did the report card,
right?
Yeah. I'm like, we went through a bunch of different titles. That was like a, you know, news show, but specifically Asian or Asian American news, and I did it with Gilbert Gallen, who's hilarious. So
how was that received?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the news show thing. I think it was like the funny thing too is they're so like, they have such a dedicated fan base. So they really like are like, this is what our audience likes, and sometimes we introduce new things to them. So even with like Dating After College, which was like, you know, very close to what their audience likes, it's like rom-com series. They like one episode, I think they were even like, oh, I don't know, you know, some negative comments, and I was like, then I look and it's like, if it's fine. I mean, like, I think I'm just used to like people being like, die in a fucking pit, you know what I mean, like this guy fucking needs to get raped, and I'm always like, oh god, did they say that? And then theirs are like, oh yeah, I wasn't as much a fan of this one as the, you know what I mean,
right?
So I feel
so
like
funny.
They're so sweet and like very, you know, no they've been doing this for so long, so they know what to do and they know how it will be received, you know, and then some surprises. But yeah, so dating, I mean, so the report card show was like a little bit new for them. They hadn't done something like that before. So I think they were very tentative of like, okay, you know, this is different, guys. So we're going to have Phil intro it in the beginning. So it's like Phil talking to, you know, the people that love him.
Talking to
like,
the kids.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Hey, guys, this is different.
Hey,
so
take a knee. Yeah.
Right, right.
Take a knee.
Exactly. Flips hey, the chair
on,
backwards.
Yeah. Come on. Hey, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hey, kids. Yeah,
I was actually, I was honestly kind of surprised to see you and Gilbert on there. Gilbert is the guy on Tiger Belly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Like, I had just, I don't know, and you know what? This might be my own biases, but I had just associated like you guys in a different like comedy circle than Wong Fu. Like, I feel like to your point, like Wong Fu has like a very dedicated base, and like it's these girls who shop at these places and they love bubble tea and they date a certain type of men and like they don't have a lot of white friends and like it's that. But then I just assumed like you were not in that. It's like okay if you were part of that, but like so when I saw you and Gilbert on there,
so funny. Yeah.
Like or, people who are like trying to make it a mainstream comedy like we are, I was like, oh, it's I didn't know that like both parties would be into the other's comedy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Or is it like, I would imagine, is it like if you're an LA Asian comedian, eventually you got to kiss the ring, which is Wong Fu. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh my God.
You know what I'm saying?
So
they're,
funny.
They, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you may kill, and then one day when you go back to your, to the green room, like a Wong Fu lawyer is there, and he's just like, oh, my employer would like to see you, you know? And it's just like,
yo, he comes
in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Get in the car. And then oh that Wong Fu guy that, you know, he's just like, oh, you've done very well for yourself. But I run this city. You know what I'm saying? Is it like that? Because that would be awesome.
This is sick. You're just like in a limo and there's like, who's that person?
Oh, he's wearing an all white tuxedo. Yes, exactly. Yeah. How did you guys?
Boba.
How did you guys get together and stuff like that?
I think I had met them through ISA TV, which is like their counterpart. I don't know, sister company. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
Another YouTube channel that's more about identity or something, because it was called, well, I don't know. I thought the I doesn't stand for identity, so that doesn't make sense. But anyway, it is more about identity. So I think I had met Dan Matthews, who's Dan, aka Dan, when I was in college, and I had met him through, I think, Jenny Yang, who I'd known through stand up, of course. And and so then I did like a little series with them at some point, and they're like, oh, well, if you're ever interested in like doing more acting stuff, you know, Wong Fu's always looking for people. So I was like, okay, that's great. Cool. And so then I had done like a little short film with them. And then through that, they were like, oh, you know, I heard you're a writer. We're actually looking for a writer. So I kind of just like, you know, one thing led to the next. And I was a fan, and I mean, or I am a fan. So I think it was like, oh, no brainer, you know, to work with them. But I see what you mean. Yeah. There was a lot of like, when I was first talking with them too, of like, so why don't you, so like, cause I was so entrenched in like, I was a writer's assistant for like a show here initially. So it was sort of like, how come you guys don't try to pitch this around? You know what I mean? I was kind of just like in this mindset of like, isn't mainstream the goal? Like, I didn't know, you know, that they really don't need that. And they were like, oh, well, we've gone through that. And honestly, like, it's fine. But then you end up making a thing, and then the people are like, oh, we don't want a second season of this. So you're like, well, I can't even make what I want to fucking make. And they're so used to like being their own bosses,
having
which is
their
awesome.
Own control. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like really eye opening to be like, oh, you can just also do what you want to do and live a happy life. They have to work much harder to fund stuff, of course, and they have their like Patreon going, which is like, I think, a huge part of, you know, how they're able to keep doing what they want to do without having like interference from people who, you know, hold the key or whatever. So it was very inspiring. And I think like at the time it was sort of like, oh, I wonder how there's, you know, if there's a way to like bridge this gap, because there are totally like Asians in Hollywood, right, that are like way more like the Alan Yangs, like the people who are like in it.
Inside
and so it's very different. Yeah, it feels kind of like, oh, how come you guys don't just hang out? You know, I think you guys are both, you want to hang out, you know, but yeah,
I'm telling you, Wong Fu, they're the mob. They're the poison fist of the Pacific Rim. Okay. You know,
these guys
are watching up and down the West Coast. All right. They've got their mob operation going on. So respect to them. How many report cards did you end up making? Did you only just, I just remember seeing one.
We just did two. Okay. Two. Yeah. We did one more. And I think there was like, yeah, potentially it could be an ongoing thing, but I think, we kind of took it in each as like, all right, well, we did it, you know, so.
Interesting. I feel, Fumi and I were always like, okay, who's going to be the Asian Desus Amaro, or who's, or even like the Asian kind of like Andrew Schultz, where like they put their little hot take out on current events. I still feel it's kind of like an open lane. Like there's no one who's kind of stepped into that role. And if anything, I would feel that, you know, the report card was like, you guys did that a little while ago. So I was like, oh, okay, this is great. You guys could like jump right into there and ride this wave. So I always thought, I don't know, maybe if it was like to your point, like if you get one, you know, tepid comment of Suzy Kim going, oh, I'm not a big fan of this, you know, that would be like enough to shut down the whole fucking production, you know?
Oh no. Right. There were a lot of like, wasn't a fan of the cussing. I was like, wait, what?
Really?
I don't even cuss.
They said that?
No, I think they were like, oh wow, we were cussing in this. And then I was like, oh wow. I mean, that's the only thing I know how to do. I'm so sorry. So,
oh my gosh, I was watching this with my Bible study. Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's kind of what that
cute.
Vibe.
It's precious. Yeah.
Cool. They're very cute.
It was fine.
So, okay, this brings me to my next point. So you had this is a while back, but I saw that you made this documentary with ISA called Can Asians Be Funny? Or something like that. It was like, Asians, that's funny. You were interviewing comedians to like find out if Asians can be funny and like just like what that is like. And that is a question.
Like, I didn't think so. Uh-huh.
Well, no, but we've talked about that on this podcast before.
Yeah, that's
like,
one of the big
things. For a long time, the answer was no.
Can Asians be funny? Yeah,
the answer was no for a long time because they didn't, like, it seemed that nobody would allow us to be funny. You know what I mean by that? It's not like, of course, I'm not saying like you can't go up on stage and get a laugh, but it's like, just America as a whole, is there even a demand for an Asian Desus Amaro, right? Like if the answer is no, the answer to the question, can Asians be funny, is no, right? So we're like talking about that, and I really related to it. One thing we always talk about on here is like the, you know, I think you kind of hinted at this as you're talking about the Wong Fu audience. You know, they're saying like, oh, I wasn't a big fan of the cussing, or like, well, what does she mean by that? You know, and I personally, and I think Mike as well, we struggle with that because like we got this podcast. It's got the word Asian in it twice. Obviously, like we want to like collect like-minded people. We also talk about non-Asian things. But I feel sometimes when we like lean in too hard on the Asian thing, we get some people who are like, who don't understand what we're doing, and they either don't get it or are offended because they don't get it. So here's an example, right? Like, it comes down to the questions. Are Asian audiences, like, are they ready for comedy in this way? In this way that the mainstream does it? So our friends, SJ and Woody, they released this new podcast called Emotional Slut, okay? And SJ and Woody, they're so funny. They've been on the show a bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah.
They're great. And so they posted, like, they launched this podcast. They posted it on, what was it, Mike? ACN?
ACN, Asian Creative Network.
And what is ACN?
ACN is just, it's a really big Facebook group where, like, creative Asian people can, like, kind of cross-post about their various projects. I'm kind of joking here, but I'm kind of not, that it's mostly graphic designers and people starting podcasts. Like, that's the main thing. And to be fair, that's what we did as well. And we're on there, and like, it's generally like a good vibe. People are like, hey, check out this thing, or like, I'm interested in, like, you know, becoming a designer in this way, and they'll post stuff, and people will be like, "This is cool! Hey, check this out!" So it's like a clearinghouse for all sorts of like Asian creative projects. Yeah,
right. So they posted their podcast, and they put their little description, which I'll read. They say, "Welcome to Emotional Slut, the podcast where comedians Woody Fu and SJ Sun divulge their latest emotional and sexual outbursts, speaking on behalf of all 4.5 billion Asians. They chat / scream about sex, racism, their adorbs, frustrating immigrant parents." And so forth. So That was their, that's their little thing. And then they got a comment that was like, I don't think two people can speak on behalf of 4.5 billion Asian people. That sounds a little bit presumptuous to me and perpetrates stereotyping. So we've gotten shit like that before. And it's I feel like I personally have like a love-hate relationship with like, and I'm generalizing here, the Asian audience in America. Mm. It's because like, I feel like I want to relate, and if they relate, it's super rewarding. But when I get comments like this, it's like, what are you even fucking talking? Like, do you know what comedy is? Like, I can't explain to you what comedy and laughing is. You know, like if you don't, and sometimes like, I mean, this is like a ridiculous, this might be a ridiculous thing, but I feel like a lot of Asian people grow up and they don't laugh. I don't know. Maybe comedy is not like a big part of their life. You know, I know
you were saying there's no such thing as sarcasm in Japan. Right?
No, there is no.
Like that's all of the comedy we just did right now. This whole if you translated this podcast into Japanese, it's just two people seriously talking about how Wong Fu is a mob. You know, like there is no there. People are like, oh my god, this is a documentary. You know, so yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like when you were making this documentary. Asians, that's funny. Did you kind of encounter this theme? Like we call it sometimes like Asian haters or whatever it is, but like this kind of like sort of sensitivity to a representation of Asian American culture. I think people are like because it's so ill-defined, sometimes people are like a little sensitive about it. Did you encounter that when you were doing your documentary?
Or just in stand-up.
The documentary, I'm not sure, what did I even, it's like, what even happened in that? That was a while back. But no, I think with stand-up probably the most, I'm still like highly convinced that, you know, people, you know, I just feel like my jokes that are like Asian jokes from like, long ago, I'm like, people are gonna get pissed about them again at some point.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm waiting to, you know, not canceled, but like maybe.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, I think there's definitely like it feels super high stakes, you know, sometimes with Asian jokes or Asians in comedy because everybody's like, well, we cannot be the butt of the joke. Okay, that's fine. Like I get that, you know, we don't want to be that because we've been that for a long time, and like I totally feel that sensitivity for sure. But like. You know, it can be so easily like it's like we're on like a tightrope and it's just like, okay, well, we were almost the butt of the joke of that joke. So maybe it was the butt of the joke. So now
that's
you know, it's like, oh, God, well, I thought I was trying to subvert that. But okay, you know, so it does sometimes feel like there's such a, you know, if we just had like way more stuff out there, right, like it'd be fine. Like I think people wouldn't be like, well, that joke you just said is now 25% of all jokes. So
exactly.
We're fucked, you know, so
I have to say that we... There, you know, between you, Fumi, and myself, this is about 40% of the Asian comedy
scene. Not even joking.
Scene.
I'm not
right
joking.
Right here. This is it. Then there's Ali Wong, and there's Jenny Yang, and for some reason, Keanu is also part of it. So,
that's
you know,
it.
That's it. That's all the Asian people.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, good company.
Yeah. I definitely feel you about just, like, having more stuff. You know, we've heard that over and over again. Like, just make more crap. There should be a Wong Fu, which is like targeted towards a certain demographic, which you know is a little bit, you know, a little bit more PG, but like has a certain feel to it. That's okay. And there should be like an edgier, you know, Tiger Belly. And there should be, you know, Sierra out there doing her thing. And you know, one thing that's interesting is so like Fumi isn't part of that ACN group anymore because of his love-hate relationship, which I totally get. But I was still in there because I know what this feels like.
As I'm talking to Sierra, like I feel that because you grew up over there, you don't know what I'm talking about. Does that make sense? I don't know. You know, I'm not. This is not like a condescending thing, but I feel like we have different viewpoints because like you grew up in California where there's like so many fucking Asians. So you may kind of know what I'm talking about, but like for me, it's a new thing. It's like a new thing
that
I discovered.
Definitely a thing for sure. I mean, I don't mean to put words into your mouth, Sierra, but like I definitely feel, even if I grew up with a lot of Asian people, that it was really hard to step out of line with like what the, you know what I'm saying? That's why we generally coalesce around like talking about boba and shit like that, because like Boba's safe. Nobody's gonna be getting mad at Boba. You gotta talk about Boba. Ha ha ha, ha. You know, like, you know,
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy. I don't want to talk about Boba.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that then, and then you end up talking about something else. If you want to, if you like, talk about like, you know, oh man, I bang a lot of
Like, do you remember when I did, that show at this liberal college, which I will not name, and I was doing crowd work, and then they got upset because they said Fumi Abe went down the line, asked students about their sexual histories.
Right,
when I was like doing like crowd work, they didn't even know
you
what that was.
Them into telling them.
Well,
I was,
you know,
like, their sexual
not,
history.
Honestly, it's like it's not my fault if you live a shitty life. I'm sorry. Like, if you can't laugh at that, like, I don't know what to tell you. And that's why I left that fucking group, dude.
So no, well, so but you, that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to leave that group because so that comment that we were just talking about, it got like 19 thumbs up, right? Like blah blah blah, right?
Nice,
but the. But then, right below it is another comment that this guy was like, oh, that was clearly a joke. No one can represent 4.5 billion people. I think they're trying to be funny, and this is like a thing. That got 33 thumbs up.
Oh, my research shows that they are
telling
a joke.
No, but 30 to 20 is like pretty close, man.
No, it's not. Well, here's the thing is that like it used to be that, I agree with you, it used to be you step out of line a little bit, people are going to shit on you and like, you know, oh, you're misrepresenting the way Asian Americans are and you're making this about the joke. Now it's not like as clear cut. And I think there's people who are like, oh, this is, there's more and more people who are interested in seeing another perspective. And, you know, hey, Ali Wong was a huge star, you know, and had a huge Netflix special, you know, like there's like more and more Asian comedians got out there and there's more Asian content out there. And I think it isn't as like people aren't as going to be, there's going to be that knee jerk reaction, but there's still going to be people now who are going to be like, hey, you know, give him a shot or give this person a chance. And you're going to have a little bit more counterbalance, I think, you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, we would not even be here. We would not be at episode 150. We'd have gotten to episode 2 and then Reddit would have shit in our mouths and that's it. You know
what I'm saying? That's how podcasts end. Well, yeah, I mean, I probably don't totally understand maybe because... Yeah, well, I think they're, California is super Asian.
Yeah.
And then also, I still come out of being like, I am a very, like, I've been talking with my cousins a lot during quarantine. And we all, you know, have arrived at the conclusion that, like, we're all fourth generation. So we oftentimes, like, maybe didn't discover much about Asian identity or realize that we had that until college, which is the thing a lot of people.
Yeah.
Say, but yep. I think a lot of it is like or jokingly like sometimes people be like, oh yeah, because it's like obviously I'm Asian, so people, other Asians will be like, oh, so you and we're similar. So then they might say like, oh, we're you know how like our parents don't understand this, and then I'd be like, huh, yeah, but like in my head I'm like, because they're older, like my parents, you know, are pretty much, they grew up here too, so like in many ways they do understand more maybe. So I feel. Like, oh God, I guess I probably, you know, maybe am a little bit outside of that experience. And then I don't want to be deceptive. So I would be like, yeah, I also know what you're talking about because I don't know if I do. But I mean, I think the stepping out of line thing for sure is a lot maybe easier for me because I stepped out of line so damn long ago. So,
yeah, you know, it's, good point.
So it's sort of like, it's like, this is a thing that is happening, but I mean, it's still tough in the sense of like, yeah, I think a lot more of the negative comments or DMs or things from people are from Asian folks because they do watch my stuff. But ooh, here's a big one.
Nice.
Is I did a voiceover for a like now this, you know, that
yeah,
company.
I
did it for their Andrew Yang YouTube video, and of course, you know, it wasn't like a hit piece, but it was like they were basically doing every Democratic candidate and they were like, so we're being like skeptical, like we're not backing anyone. And so I was like, okay, well, I mean, the Yang Gang's gonna come after me, but
yeah,
okay,
for sure.
And then, yeah, it was a fucking bloodbath.
Whoa!
But, I mean,
wow, they came after you for your voice?
For your voice.
Your voice?
So, because it said narrated by Sarah Kato, so then they're like, who's this bitch? And then they like,
come on.
And it's like out there. And, you know, and I think a lot of it is like, he didn't get treated equally by the media, and so then I'm the media right. now, and you know, I get see. It, but yeah, it was out of control.
That's crazy. I mean,
it was
yeah.
just bad, but you know, it is what it is. And I yeah. think that was kind of part of the, like, come on, you're Asian, so you gotta support the Asian. And yeah, yeah, I did, but I also need to do this voiceover thing.
Yeah, yeah. On behalf of all straight Asian guys, which is like 99% of Andrew Yang's base, we apologize.
I'm so sorry. We're so sorry.
Thank you.
That's on us. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Oh, hey, Fumi, what's that sound you're doing over there, Fumi?
Nothing. Definitely just eating cereal. Nothing else. Nothing else happening here.
Nothing weird. No, I've heard that sound when Japanese people make it, and trust me, it is not usually eating cereal. But it does look like you're eating cereal. That looks good as hell. What is that? What is that?
It's
man?
Funny you ask. It's actually Magic Spoon.
Oh man, I've heard about Magic Spoon. It's really it's pretty crazy. It's zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net carbs in each serving.
It's got 4 flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, blueberry. Blueberry is my favorite.
Oh man, I'm a big fan of Frosted myself. It tastes amazing. Honestly, too good to be true.
It's keto friendly, gluten friendly, grain free, soy free, low carbs, GMO free. This sounds like that Kanye West workout song. You know what I'm talking about?
So go to magicspoon.com/Asian to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code Asian at checkout to get free shipping.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
That's magicspoon.com/Asian and use the code Asian for free shipping.
We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring the podcast. Now back to this. We are going to play a little game with you, Sarah. Okay, this game is called The Positive Spin. So, yeah. Sierra has a podcast called Stay Positive because she's really positive all the time. That's her.
Positive.
Positive. That's her. That's her energy. So, we will put that to the test. The ANA boys will pitch Sierra really depressing news, and you will have to put a positive spin on it.
Oh, God.
Ooh, that's a good one. Hold on, real quick, though. Just about your positive podcast. You know, why? I just want to know, how come you started that podcast?
I guess I wanted to start a podcast where I could talk to people for a long ass time who I wouldn't normally talk to, and it felt like a you know, a theme that I was excited about, to hear how people went about their mood in their day. And it's kind of like, you know, it's trendy now, you know, everybody's mental health is kind of like, people want to know. So, and including myself. So yeah, so it's definitely that. And then the fact that, like, you know, I guess it's like a generic enough theme where I also don't have to talk about that if I don't want to, you know,
strategic.
Not to, you know, yeah, leaving my options open.
I like it.
That's
I like it.
The key.
Okay, Mike, do you want to read these?
All right, so again, the game is called Positive Spin, and we're going to feed Sierra some news, and she's going to have to put a positive spin on it. So here's the first one. Scientists are warning that dormant, quote-unquote, zombie fires scattered across the Arctic region, remnants of record blazes from last year, may be coming to life after an unusually warm and dry spring. So that's news about zombie fires in the Arctic. How is that positive?
Oh my God. Okay. Well, you know, if you know, maybe there's like a stray dude or lady like got stranded from a shipwreck and they're, you know, wandering around the Arctic. They're real cold, but they're like, oh, actually, I got a fire right here.
Oh, shit.
Hey.
Solved. Solved.
You know,
not a problem. Environmentalists, chill out. Okay. Yeah. Next depressing news. Here we go. The USPS is now a target of Trump in the 2020 election.
Yeah.
That means that they're going to vote for Trump, right?
Who?
Is that what that means?
No, it means that Trump is sort of actively... So right now, Trump is sort of like...
Oh, is this the mail-in ballot thing?
Yeah,
he's like trying to shut it all down.
Yeah, he's actively kind of like choking the funding for the USPS so that, you know, mail-in ballots become like less viable.
Yes, yes.
There you
wow.
go.
So sad.
Spin, yeah, I love it.
Spin that.
Spin that.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes sometimes you make purchases when you're drunk and you're like, fuck, I just spent like $300 on a backpack. And now it didn't even come in the mail. So you can say like, hey, can I get a refund?
Hey,
bring it back to Amazon.
Hey, you, that I feel that buying a $300 backpack jab was personal at me.
Yeah, I don't know why. Why you got to go at me?
All right, one more. The NYPD union, this is recent. This was just announced, I think, yesterday or today. The NYPD union, the union for the New York Police Department, is now endorsing Trump.
Wow.
Hey.
Wow.
I'm so scared. What should I do?
Man. Well, you know what's... Shit, this is dark. Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe this NYPD person you see on the street, you're like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe they are okay. And then you hear that and you get to be like, yeah, I don't even have to fucking make that decision of do I smile? Do I not smile? You frown.
Quickly.
Okay, that was a positive spin, and you did your best. And I'm gonna say I am still a little depressed. No, that's not your fault at all. There's only so much you can do about.
Oh yeah, these are all systemic situations.
Yeah, we basically just asked her to solve systemic.
Okay, can you solve systemic racism and climate change with a quick one-liner? You got anything like that?
Well, thank you very much. 39 seconds.
39 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, that was the episode. Thank you very much, Ciara, for being on the show. Where can our fans find you?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. That's so much fun. I am on Instagram. My name is Ciara Kato, which doesn't tell anybody how to spell it. It's SIERAKATOW. And same thing on Twitter. Got a website. Go to my YouTube because I made that video and listen to my podcast. Stay positive. Which you guys should come on if you want to be positive.
I
did talk to somebody like for an hour about just how we're all gonna die. So that also happens.
I'm there, baby.
Know?
I'm there.
Yeah,
that's like Mike specializes in like apocalyptic talk. So that's all.
Oh yeah, come on. We'll do a segment.
Well, you can also find us on the social media at Asian.AsianPod. I'm also on all platforms at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
I keep forgetting to mention this, but we're on YouTube now. So please subscribe to us on YouTube. Just find us. Just type in Asian.AsianPodcast. We're on there. Please subscribe to us. We put videos of all our podcasts, and you can see our faces. Sometimes we do visual jokes. I'm a very physical comedian, you see?
Do this.
You gotta see my jokes, man.
Yeah.
So anyways, check us out on YouTube. Subscribe to our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/Asian.AsianPod for bonus episodes. And we've got all kinds of exciting news coming up. So please...
we do have some very big news coming up.
Please stay loyal. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but please stay loyal to us.
Yeah.
We love you. We just wanted to reiterate that. We love our fans, anals, Asian.Asian listeners, by the way.
Yeah.
Was there anything else? Oh, yeah. Hack City every Friday, 8 p.m., which Ciara, you should do at some point if you're free.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you do Zoom shows?
Yeah, I love a Zoom.
Okay,
our
cool.
Zoom shows are good. It's a fun one.
We'll text you and we'll get that sorted out. So that's every Friday 8 p.m. Just go to Asian.AsianPod.com for free tickets. Ciara, thank you so much for coming on. This was so much fun. And anals, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.